Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
Today we're back in the City of State College at Penn State University, the site of our flagship station, WTLR, and interviewing some guests with one of the ministries here that actually I believe started here at Penn State is the Disciple Makers. And my guests are Reese Johnson, the director here at Penn State, and Ricky Pfister, one of the staff members. And Reese, welcome to the program today.
It's great to be here, Glenn.
And you've been here at Penn State for how long?
Let's see, as a full-time staff, I joined Disciple Makers in the summer of 1998. So coming up 17 years.
All right, so a real veteran. So that's exciting to be a part of a campus ministry. And give us a little bit about your background, and then maybe we can ask Ricky about a little bit of the background of the Disciple Makers.
Sure. Let's see. I went to Penn State and graduated in 1997. I grew up going to church my whole life, but when I came to college, I came to Penn State and really wanted to get into the party scene. Mm-hmm. And really got into that full force.
I don't know how they measure the best party colleges or whatever, but yeah. You know, all of them seem to hit one of the surveys or one of the lists as the best party or one of the top party schools. Penn State, one of those.
So. Yeah, if you walk around here enough, you definitely get that sense that it's a party school and that they rank pretty high. Even though I had gone to church my whole life, when I came here to college, had no desire to go to church or to really think about God. That was basically my whole freshman year. And the summer after my freshman year, I lived at the beach in New Jersey with high school friends all summer long. And that was just one big, you know, party after another. When I came back to school that next fall, I had some guys who lived next door to me in the dorms that had a Bible study, and they were inviting me every week, and I kept turning them down. But coming back off of this summer of partying, I really started to question, what's life all about? Mm-hmm. You know, you can have all this fun, you can do all these things, but you still end up dying. There's got to be more to life than partying and just hanging out. And so eventually, I said yes to these guys who invited me to their Bible study, and that was on campus in Pollock Halls. And my eyes were really opened. I was like, wow, the Bible really says some really interesting things, and started reading it. And it was through that Bible study and through these men that I realized that I was not right with God, and I needed to be forgiven of my sins and place my faith in Jesus, and that he had to be my bedrock of trust.
Right.
And all of my forgive my sins completely. There's no way I was adding anything to the equation. And that was the end of my sophomore year at Penn State. Mm-hmm. So my junior and senior year, I was had the privilege to be involved with an on-campus ministry. And I grew a lot. I was discipled by some guys and got to see God work in many other students' lives. When I graduated from college, I worked for a computer company for a short bit. And I also had the privilege to go on a missions trip to Eastern Europe for several months.
Great.
And I was also working here in State College, so I had some opportunity to do outreach in the dorms while I was working at this computer company.
I see.
And I was talking to some folks, and they said, have you ever thought about doing campus ministry full-time? And I said, no, I never never thought about that. And just that question kind of got the ball rolling.
Sure.
And it wasn't too long after that after much prayer and thought and counsel and search in the Bible that decided to pull the trigger and go for it. And I've been here about 17 years now.
Great. And you're the director of the staff. How many do you have on your staff here just at Penn State?
Well, our headquarters here in State College for Disciple Makers is here in State College. So we have a number of volunteers that help us from time to time. But we also have our full-time staff that are working with us. And we just got two new ones this past week. Mm-hmm. So I have to think about it. How many? Yeah, I think there's eight of us.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Well, that's a concentration. That's probably the largest number of the Disciple Maker staff groups, or no?
On one particular campus,
On one campus, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now I'll turn to Ricky Pfister. And did you go to school here at Penn State also?
Or? No, I actually went to Bloomsburg University. I wanted to come to Penn State, but they rejected me. And so I went to Bloomsburg instead, but God sent me back here to work and to reach this campus as a full-time staff worker.
Great, great. And did you come to Christ early in life? Or?
I grew up similar to Teresa, went to church growing up, but it didn't hit me until I was in high school, late high school, about my junior, senior year. Friends of mine invited me to a Bible study and saw their joy and their belief that Jesus was God, that the Bible was the truth and God's word, and that intrigued me. So I continued to ask questions, go to that Bible study, and became a Christian there. But I was very new when I went to college, so I found Disciple Makers when I was a student. I was deeply impacted by the staff worker there who invested his life into mine, discipled me, trained me in discipleship, evangelism, understanding God's word.
Right.
And so I joined after I graduated, wanted to do that with other students.
Great.
So.
Now, Disciple Makers is a Pennsylvania organization that started on campus. Do you know how many years ago that was?
It started in 1981 by Bill and Bonnie Drips. Yep.
Right, okay. And now, how many campuses do they cover? And tell us a little bit about the, you know, maybe unique aspects of that ministry compared to some of the other campus groups.
Yeah, we're at 11 campuses in Pennsylvania. And probably the main distinction is that probably like most college campus ministries, we want Christ to be known, we want to disciple students. But one of our focuses is the willingness to go to smaller campuses. It's kind of funny because we're here at Penn State, which is
right.
A huge campus, but pretty much Penn State's the largest campus we're at, but we go to a lot of private schools or state schools, just willing to partner with local churches in those areas to reach those smaller campuses that maybe some of the bigger ministries are unable to go to. So we just kind of see ourselves as a group trying to fill in the gaps where the gospel isn't. So.
Great. Okay. Well, what caught my attention about you guys recently, since I still have my foot in the door here at Penn State from time to time, was hearing about this survey that took place just a couple of weeks ago, right before Easter. And Reese, mm-hmm. maybe you could tell us how that idea got started and what it was all about, and then maybe we could talk about some of the experiences of students involved.
Sure. It's actually really encouraging. The impetus for we called it a questionnaire.
Questionnaire, right. Okay.
Was that there's a group of about 17 campus ministries here at Penn State that have joined together in a group called Common Ground. And this is, it sort of got revamped this past year. And we decided as a group that we wanted all of our members to commit to two things. One of them was a gathering or a worship service, something where we'd all come together and pray and worship God together. And another would be a joint outreach. And so for this spring, one of the things that we planned for this joint outreach was an Easter questionnaire. So the week before Easter, we called it United in Christ Week. And this was a resurrection of a thing that happened many, many years ago at Penn State with the Christian groups. So the questionnaire is actually just one component of that week,
mm-hmm.
and that was the outreach component that we were particularly focused on. There were other outreaches too,
right?
But that one was pretty encouraging because we came up with an 8-question questionnaire that was about two minutes long, and we asked all of our students, all of our staff of these various ministries to participate. And I think in the end, we had about 8 ministries that participated. I haven't gotten all the results yet.
Right,
from all
okay.
of them,
still.
So I don't know the complete totals. But so far, we had about 1,000 respondents to this questionnaire
all
over
right.
a course of a week.
Mm-hmm.
And what was particularly interesting about this questionnaire is that it was leading up to Easter, and it was about Easter. And Easter sort of has a sort of a mystery surrounding it that
right.
most people out there on the streets.
It's about
probably,
Easter eggs and bunnies.
Yeah,
and so
you
on,
can't
right?
really, you ask them what it's about and they don't know.
Right.
They might know it's about Jesus, but they don't really know. So, for example, one of the questions was, do you think Christians consider Easter or Christmas as a more significant holiday?
Right.
And I think, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like 75% of the people said Christmas. And so one of the last questions on this questionnaire was, would you like to see an illustration or hear an explanation about the meaning of Easter? And a surprising number of people said yes. or maybe. That was one of the options. But about 44% of that 1,000 people said yes to that last question.
Great.
And even the ones that said maybe, which was about 13%, so in total, that was about 58% said yes or maybe to that last question. Mm-hmm. That resulted in a gospel presentation and an explanation and an invitation to believe in Jesus.
Great.
And so over the course of this week, there were 400 to 500 of these gospel presentations with students. And so, and it was just really encouraging to hear the stories. Campus minister after campus minister shared how this blew away their expectations, and they just wanted to keep doing it again. And
so God
really blessed.
So about how many people actually gave the questionnaire out to others?
That I don't know.
Okay.
The way that we had it structured was...
But the 8 different ministries were involved in doing it in some way.
Yeah, that 8 different ministries sent me their results.
Okay.
I was the one in charge of combining them tabulating all the results together. So there still may be more out there that...
Yeah.
That did it, but each ministry managed their own questionnaire. So they were all the same, but they managed, because we did it online.
Right.
And then they just sent me the results. I combined them all together.
And did you have one particular gospel presentation after the last question? Would you like a presentation about Easter? Or?
Well, what we said with each ministry was to kind of use what you were used to. Mm-hmm. So if your students were trained in a particular way or whatever, to use that. Most of us, I'd say the majority of us, used a one-verse bridge illustration that the navigators came up with, and they had a little card, and we made lots of copies of those and handed them out to our students, and I know the navigator students used those. And it was a Romans 6:23 verse with a little illustration of the bridge, and you share the gospel through that and share that Jesus is the only way, and I know maybe a number of us, I know I said this, to start the illustration saying in 1 Corinthians 15, let me look it up here. It says that the story of Easter is critical to the Christian faith. It's actually verse 14. He says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. That's the Apostle Paul saying that if what happened on Easter, because it's about Jesus being resurrected, if that did not happen, then Christianity is not worth it.
Amen.
Our faith is not worth it. So everything hinges on this.
And if it did, it's the most powerful event of history, too, and the greatest credential that anyone has, and why 2015 is the year in Western civilization as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's an empty tomb, isn't there?
Yep. And we said that's the end of the story.
Right.
And let me explain to you the whole story. And so we would use that verse and share the gospel with them.
Great.
And the responses were way more than I expected.
Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Well, even to be able to have 400 plus people say, tell me, that's fantastic. And we do believe that Easter is more important than Christmas in terms of the, Christmas or the Christian celebrations, because it was at the cross that our sins were paid for, and the proof of the victory was the resurrection. And Ricky, you participated in doing some of the surveys yourself.
Yep.
About how many people would you say you got to talk to?
Oh, man. Probably around 20 or so. Maybe a little bit more than that. Probably the cool thing about the survey was that we wanted to do lots of them, but if you got in a conversation with someone, it could take 20, 30 minutes to talk to one person. So, and that was the point.
My guests for this broadcast have been Reese John and Ricky Pfisterer with the Disciple Makers here at Penn State University, and having just completed an exciting Easter questionnaire with 1,000 students here. And thanks, guys, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.